We're going to be in 2 Samuel tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 6 and 7. A lot of going on here, so I'm going to kind of recap it for us a little bit in a second. But what would happen if we sought out God's plan and not our own? Think about that statement for a second. What would happen if we sought out God's plan for our lives and what God had planned for your life instead of your own plan? God knows what he's doing, and we must trust and obey him and listen to him. Oftentimes, we think we know what we need, and we ask God for those things, and he tells us something completely different. You guys are young right now. You're new in your faith. You're just in high school, middle school. College is coming around the corner for some of you, and you're praying about what God has for you in your life, and God, where are you going to take me? What am I going to do with my life? And I don't know the answer to that. I can't tell you that. But God knows who you are, and God has a plan for your life. God knows what it is. And it may not be, Pastor Bill's done a great sermon on that about the perfect will of God and the will of God. If you ever want to look at that and look at that sermon, we'll be glad to show it to you. But God knows a plan for you, and he created you for something, mainly to worship him. But there's a plan for you. God knows what it is. Has something ever happened to you that was better than you thought it was going to be? Think about that statement for a second. Has something ever happened to you that was better? Yeah, I feel echoey or something. Something feels really weird. Thank you. Has something ever happened to you that was better than you thought it was going to be? Let me tell you, for instance, that was weird. I remember it was 1994. I was 14 years old. I know, that's where Tiffany usually rolls her eyes and goes, really? Yeah, I'm just kidding. We kind of done that for years. 1994, it was around Christmas time, and I knew the next March was my 15th birthday, and when I got my driver's license in the state of South Carolina, this is how it worked. When you turn 15, the day of your 15th birthday, you could go and take your driver's permit, which is the written test. 2 weeks later, I know y'all are going to be mad right now. 2 weeks later, you could go try for your driver's license. Yeah, I know. You can hate us if you want. 2 weeks later. So March 2nd, 1995, I got my permit on my birthday. April 5th, is that 2 weeks later? Whatever the day was to the day. My dad took me to the DMV. He said, do not fail, son. We live out in the country. I get tired of driving you everywhere. Do not fail. 2 weeks later, I got my driver's license. 15 years old, freshman in high school. Ninth grade year, I drove to school. That was legit. Where my birthday fell. And then 1 year later, when you turned 16, you could drive fully at night, full license when you were 16. So it was 94. I was 14, and it was time to buy a car for me. So I thought, for me. It was more for my dad, but it was for me. So we started looking for trucks. I didn't buy my first car. Sorry, I was a country boy from Timminsville. I was looking for my first truck. So we go out and we start looking, and the first one we see was like an 87 Mazda B2000. And to you guys, that's a piece of junk, whatever, but in 1994, that was a nice little pickup truck. I wanted it. Let's buy it now. Let's get it right now. Buy it. Yes, that's the one. Son, you just wait. We'll see. I want to buy it right now. That's the one. That's my truck. It was white. It was out. Let's buy it right now. Done. Son, just wait. Just wait. We looked again, found some more trucks, kept looking, found an S10 down in Marion. Boom, that's it. That's the truck. I can put my speakers back there. Let's get it. That's my truck. I want it. It was tan. It was the ugliest color tan you'll ever think of in your life. I didn't care. I won it. It was a truck. It was it. I could drive. That's it. You know how you are. You're just waiting for that one. Well, he didn't buy that one. My dad's never bought a car impulsively in his life. So we keep looking, keep going back, keep looking. Finally, we go in at Terra Village, my old neighborhood, and there she was. It was a 1987 Ranger, long bed, baby blue, my favorite color, like a royal blue. There she was. I know you guys are thinking, what is that piece of junk? 1994, I was a happy camper, all right? Straight drive, tinted windows, had a toolbox already on. We've been on this road about four times already, maybe five. I just stood there. I was like, he's not going to buy it. I know he's not going to buy it. I don't even know why I'm getting excited. He's not going to buy this thing. He said, how many miles are on it? Test drove it. I couldn't drive and have my license at the time. We drove it around the neighborhood. He stopped. Of course, my dad pulled the dipstick out. He sniffed the oil. I don't know why he did that. He does that to this day. He sniffs the oil. He even tasted it sometimes. My dad's weird. Yeah, he's weird. If it's got a metallic taste in it, something, there's something wrong with the transmission. Anyway, he was right on that a couple times. So we drive, and I'm thinking, we're not getting this truck. I love it. It's the perfect color. It's the perfect everything for me. And he says, you know what? I think I'll take it. I about passed out. I mean, I was like, what? We bought it. Drove it home that day. I was so excited. I went home and washed that thing. I couldn't even drive yet. I was 14. I was washing that thing clean. I was driving around the farm. Y'all been out on my dad's farm. I was driving around the farm, up the dirt road around. I was so excited. It was a great vehicle for me. It was an awesome truck. I got excited. I got to paint it and fix it. I painted it again and put new rims and tires on it. It was awesome. I was so excited. I loved that truck. That was my truck until it got totaled 2 years later. But it's not my fault. Then I got a newer truck. It was even better. But listen, when I first started looking for vehicles, I wanted the very first thing we saw. I couldn't wait to get that first truck. It was a piece of junk. My dad told me later, aren't you glad we didn't buy that Mazda? Yes, sir, I am glad we didn't buy that Mazda. Mm-hmm. You need to learn to listen to me. Yes, sir, I know. I know we shouldn't have bought, you know. But a good thing came to me. I waited. I didn't take the first thing that came along. I listened to my wise father, and we ended up getting a great truck. It was an awesome pickup. I loved that thing. It was my beautiful truck that I started dating my wonderful wife in, you know. Yeah. Oh, yep. She hung her little scrunchie on the... This was a big deal. She hung her black scrunchie, because I didn't have air conditioning for a little while, because she had to put her hair up, on my rearview mirror, and that scrunchie stayed on there until I wrecked that truck. It actually fell down. It wasn't having no elastic anymore. It was sweet. That's sweet. You boys are like, what? The girls are like, oh, that's sweet. Anyway, I love that truck. But listen, what's a scrunchie? A little thing girls put their hair up with. Be quiet, Chris. I know what Jack Rogers shoes are, too. Don't mess with me. All right? Hotcakes. All right. But listen, a good thing came to me because I waited. I didn't take the first thing that came along. I listened to my older, wiser father. And I'm getting a nice pickup truck that I drove for many years. I didn't jump on the first thing that came along and take it. I listened and waited, and a better thing came along. Tonight, we're going to look at David. We're going to look at the Davidic covenant. When God makes a covenant with David for the line of Jesus and the line of David, that just goes through history, and David listens to God. If you got your Bibles, we're going to begin... And we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6. We begin this story with the ark being transported and brought to Jerusalem. So David's got a group of guys, and they got the ark of God there, and they're taking it back to Jerusalem. But they put it on a cart, and they're taking it back in a cart. And they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to carry it a different way. They're supposed to carry it with poles, and they're supposed to carry it a certain way and do a certain thing to carry the ark. They don't do that. And they carry it wrong, and it's an incorrect way. And they used a cart to do it, and God wasn't happy about that. And in verse 6, listen to verse 6, what it says. Move on down. And it says, and they came up to the threshing floor of Nacon. Uzziah put out his hand to the ark of God and took a hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there beside the ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord had burst forth against Uzziah. And that place is called Perez Uzziah. Now listen, what happened here is that you're not supposed to touch the ark of God. It's a holy place. It's where God dwells. It's where he is. You're not supposed to touch that. And even if it's by accident, the ark was touched. No matter how innocently it was done, touching the ark was a direct violation of God's law, and it was resulted in death. This was means of preserving the sense of God's holiness and the fear of drawing near to him without appropriate preparation. To go near God and to go in the holy area, you had to prepare and get ready for that. And this guy just touched it. Boom, he died. God killed him right there. So David's like, you see David. David's like panicking a little bit. David's a little bit scared. He's a little bit, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why did that happen? David's kind of not sure about what's going on. So he was angry with God. He was afraid to take the ark into the city now because of what just happened. All right, so they weren't carrying it properly. Someone had been killed because they had touched it. So he sent it to Obadiah's house, and it was there for 3 months. So David said, you take it, you deal with it for a little while, and I'm not going to deal with it right now. So the ark goes to Obadiah's house. When it's there, God blesses his house for 3 months. Tons of blessing come on his house because he has the ark there. And David sees that. Now David sees this. He chooses to bring the ark back into the city. So this time they did it correctly. They put the poles on it. They carried it into the city correctly. The men stepped away properly with their six steps. They did everything properly the way it's supposed to be done. So everything's done correctly. So David puts the ark in a tent. That's where it lived, in a tent. And once the ark is back in the city, David rejoices. He dances before the Lord. And Michal, she sees him, one of his women, and she sees him, and she thinks what he's doing is vulgar, and because her maidservant saw him. Now, this is where we read that David danced naked before the Lord. The more I studied this, the more I don't think David was actually naked before the Lord. I could be wrong, but the more I studied, the more I think it said he had on a loincloth, a little linen ephod. So he had something on. But you got to think, in biblical times, these guys wore these huge tunics. They were fully covered in these massive tunics and things. And for him to take that off and just have on a cloth, she probably thought he was naked. But it offended her. She was mad. She goes, why are you dancing naked so these ladies can see you and you're supposed to be rejoicing? What does David say to her? David says, listen, that wasn't for you or your maidservants. I was rejoicing before the Lord. He was dancing. He was happy. He was worshiping God in his way. A little bit different, a little bit odd. I'm not going to really do that, I don't think. Loincloth or not going to dance naked before the Lord. But it is what David did. She was upset with David. She was mad. And David realizes that the ark at this point doesn't have a permanent home. So the ark's coming in. It's in Jerusalem. It doesn't have a permanent home. It doesn't have anywhere to live permanently, according to David. The ark was always in a tent. And David wants to build a house for the ark. He wants to build a temple for the ark to live in so they have a place to worship permanently. Not a tent, because when they would travel the ark, they would put the tabernacle up, and they would place it together, and they would put the tent up, and it never lived anywhere completely permanent. So David wants to build the ark house. So he tells Nathan, the prophet with him, he says, I want to build an ark. And Nathan says, do it. Build it. But then the Lord speaks to Nathan. He says, no, David should not build an ark for me. David should not build a home for the ark. He shouldn't build a home for me, but I want to build one for him. This is where it gets, this is our main point, and this is where it gets real. David is wanting to do one thing. David wants to build a temple. God says, no, that's not what you're called to do, David. You're not called to do that. But better yet, let me build you a house. And God tells him, but I will build one for you. But not a physical house, but a ruling dynasty. Why couldn't David build a temple? You might have a clue why David wasn't supposed to build a temple. There's a couple of reasons that we see this. A tent was perfectly fitting. The ark had been in the tent for a long time. It was perfectly fitting. It was doing its job. It was fine. God hadn't asked for a temple. God, if he didn't ask for it, why should he build something? If he hadn't asked for a permanent place, why should David choose to build one? And David was a man of blood. What does that mean? David was a man of blood. David was not the person to build the temple. The temple speaks of a universal peace achieved by knowledge of God. It was not fitting for it to be built by a warrior. David's son will build the temple of the Lord. Now listen, this isn't a bad thing. This isn't a bad thing because David did exactly what God called him to do. God called David to be a man of war. He called him to kill enemies and do his thing, and he called him to slay Goliath. We talked about that a few weeks ago. David did exactly what God called him to do. He just wasn't the guy for the job to build the temple. That's okay. That's okay. David probably doesn't fully understand that right away, but David listens and obeys. David does not build a house for the temple. Excuse me, for the ark. He said, be a man of war. He did exactly what God called him to do. David was faithful because the Lord will make David's name great. Since the exodus of the Lord has resided among the people in a temporary structure, there is no need for anything different. In fact, it was God's will for David to build him a house. Instead, God would build David a house. I love this statement. God had called David from a shepherd boy to be a shepherd of God's people. David was a meanly little shepherd boy, looking after a sheep, and God called him to be great. We looked at that a few weeks ago in 1 Samuel. Likewise, God gathered Israel to himself and would plant them securely in his own land. The house to be built for David would be a royal house, a dynasty of kings. It would originate with him, but it would never end. The kingdom and its throne would be permanent, over which the Son of David would reign forever, Jesus Christ. David was aware of his election by God and the theological significance of that election as a part of the messianic line that would result in a divine descendant and king. The prophets also attested to the Davidic Messiah, the one who would rule over and forever on his throne. God says, listen, I'm going to set up your kingdom. I'm going to set up the line of David, and your descendants are going to reign forever, and it's never going to end. In Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24, it says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be the prince among them. I'm the Lord, I have spoken. So David sees something. He sees the ark, and he's going to take care of it, but then he realizes, hey, I want to build a house for this. And God says, no, you're not going to build the house. I'm going to build one for you. Let me do something for you. So David thought one thing was going to happen, but something greater and even better happened because of that. God has designed a plan for our lives. We must listen and obey as he directs our steps. So often, we're living a life that is our own plan. It is what we have, our agenda, what we want to do, all about me, all about I. And David was not that way. We've studied David for this whole summer. David did what God called him to do, whether it was killing Goliath, slaying enemies, whatever it was. David listened and he obeyed. What do you think would have happened? Now listen, it's just a little rain, it's going to get loud. But what do you think? David was king, right? If David really wanted to build a temple, don't you think he could have? Don't you have the resources and the money and the ability and the manpower to do it? Yeah, I think he could have done it. But he chose to listen to God and do what God called him to do, which was not build a temple and not build a house for the ark. God knows who he is, who he has called us to be, and we must listen and obey him as we figure out who that person is. You guys are young. You don't know exactly what you're going to be doing in life. You have no clue where you're going to be, but God's got a plan for you. Something may be coming along, and you may be thinking it's a great opportunity and a great thing, but God may say no. God may direct your steps elsewhere, and you may be mad at God. You may say, God, no, this is what I want to do. God's got a different plan for you. We need to obey and follow his plan. Time after time, we see David do this exactly what God asked him to do, and God blessed David for that. God gave him a line that would be here forever. He blessed his descendants and people for years to come. David listened to God. He thinks he needs to build a house, but God's plans are different, and he plans to build a house that David will live in forever. David listens and obeys God's plan. Therefore, he is blessed for listening and obeying God. Why is it so difficult sometimes to listen and obey God? Why? We've asked this question 100 times in this building, probably more in the building next door. Why is it so hard to listen and obey God? Because we're scared of what he tells us. We're terrified of what he's going to ask us to do. David probably would have thought it would have been easier to build a temple and a house. That probably would have been easy for David to do. But yet he tells him not to. Sit back. Let me give you something. Something that will be here forever. I like this old saying. I've heard it 100 times in my life. If you want to make God laugh, what? Tell him your plans, right? God, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to take care of. Let me tell you how I'm going to do this. And God's probably going to let you do it, let you fail, let you go down a road and direction you shouldn't be going down, whether it's with friends, whether it's in relationships, whether it's a certain school you're going to go to one day or a certain career you're going to go down. If you're not listening to God, is it really the right plan for you? I challenge you guys to spend time in the Word, spend time connecting with God, get into the Word and see where God is going to have you. Seek his direction and his guidance. He's not going to come out and say, all right, exactly, on this date, you need to apply to this college and you need to go to the school. God's not going to tell you that. Be nice if it was that easy, wouldn't it? Be nice if you were born and you were given a manual and you just knew. Wouldn't that be so much easier in life? Some of you older students think about college. Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? It'd be a whole lot simpler to do that. God doesn't do that. We need to connect through his word, connect through his church, the body of believers. I can tell you so many times of students who have come to our ministry and been a part of this, and then God has worked in their lives for them to go and seek where he has them because of something that's happened at church or something that's happened through a camp or something that's happened through an event or something else. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Because you may say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to handle, this is what I'm going to do. And God's like, no, you're not. This is what you're going to do. And that's not always fun and easy or simple. I know a young man right now who was planning to go to USC this fall, and God rocked his world this summer. He's not doing that now. He's going to seek the ministry and go where God's called him to do. And I think his parents are having a panic attack right now because of that. He's seeking the Lord. He's listening and obeying what God has for him. And that's not always easy to do. I don't know if you guys know, remember Amanda from this summer. Amanda Powell hung out with us, the girl that got my team lost a lot. But Amanda was a sweet girl this summer up in Boston. And I learned a lot about Amanda this summer. I realized her dad's not a believer. Her mom's a nominal believer. Her dad thinks she's crazy for doing what she's doing. She has a master's degree to be a PA, veterinarian PA. Could probably go out and get a job and make a lot of money. But God said ministry, and Amanda obeyed. And her mom's supporting her. And her dad, every time he sees her, you still doing that stupid Jesus mess? You still paying them to go work for them? Because that's what you do with Generation Link Summer. Like, you pay to go work. Are you still paying them to go work? And she's faithful to her calling. She knows God has a plan for her life. She's actually older than most She was 29 years old. The average person in Gen Link is like 22, 24, kind of still figuring out life. She's well on in life. God had a plan for her. She listened and obeyed, and she's doing it. She's working at Cross Point Clemson, making minimal money, serving the Lord. God had a plan for her life, and she listened to it. She didn't do what she thought she should do. She did what God called her to do. It's like when David gets this great news that he doesn't build God a house. God builds him one. Let me reward you, David, for your faithfulness. So often we walk through life, we must be evaluating, am I listening and obeying what God's telling me to do? As you walk through life, are you constantly evaluating, God, is this where you have me? Is this what you want me to be doing? Because it may not be. There are people that come in here to help out with youth ministry, and they come in and they realize this isn't for them, and they leave, and that's okay. Some people come in and the youth ministry is not their thing. Some people go help out with kids. And once we peel them off the wall and then get them a little bit of, you know, therapy, they're fine. Not everybody's meant to do everything. I'm coaching soccer this fall. I hope I'm meant to do that. I don't think I am. But I've been told by my wife and Kara Brugger that I'm meant to do that. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to have fun doing it. But where's God got you right now? Listen, one of my favorite songs from the 90s, is an Audio Adrenaline song. And it talks about going on a mission trip. And listen, you guys want to go on a mission trip? You guys want to go? Some of you are already started, but a lot of you are going to start on August 18th, first day of school. Especially if you're in public school. You're in a great mission field. Sign up, ready to go. Let's do it. Some of you at Christian school, you're just as much in a mission field as others. You homeschoolers, sometimes you need to share love with your parents. Sometimes they need Jesus. Yeah. But listen to me. What's God called you to do this year? Has God laid someone on your heart already before school started to share the gospel with? Has God laid on your heart to get plugged into a ministry? Maybe here at Cornerstone. Maybe it's in Wana. Maybe it's with the praise band. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you listening to what God has for you to do? You're thinking, I'm 14 years old. I'm 13. I'm 15. I can't do anything. That's baloney. You can do it. I was 15 years old. I was plugged into my church as a kid. You couldn't peel me away. I opened the doors and I closed them half the time. Where does God have you? Where are you plugging in? What is God doing in your life? Where are you at right now? Are you connecting with God daily in His Word? Is God showing you things? Are you learning things and growing and writing in your Bible and studying and journaling? God's just blowing your mind. I hope so. If not, you need to be. Because the more you're connected to His Word, the greater His plan for your life is going to be revealed. And I'm not saying God's going to go out there and He's going to say, go to this college, marry this person. No, that's not going to happen. And sometimes you may go along and you may go to a college and that may not be where God wants you to go. That's okay. That's still God's will for your life. You're doing where you're going. It may not be perfect, but at least you're doing what God's called you to do. You're being faithful. You're listening and obeying. You may go somewhere and go to a certain college and God may say, all right, like Amanda, I'll use her for an example. She went to Clemson, God bless her, and then she went to Auburn. Tigers back to back, okay? And then God totally changed her whole life. She told me, she said, Jason, why didn't God tell me at 20 years old to go in the ministry? I said, Amanda, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I can't tell you that. I wish I could tell you that. Maybe there was experiences you had to have at Clemson and Auburn to get you where you are. And maybe you're going to do medical missions with animals. I don't know. She looked at me. She goes, I never thought about that. So maybe God was preparing you the whole time for that. But you need to get connected in His Word. You need to be connected daily to God. As we read and study God's Word, He's revealing to us His plan for our lives. As you read and see, God, where do I need to go to school? What do I need to do in my life? He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to show you through certain things and things that are happening in your life. But we may take a crazy journey to get there. I know I did. I promise you I did. I still am. But if we aren't spending time with Him daily, we often are lost and have no direction in our lives. You ever seen someone or met someone who has no direction in their life? Maybe an adult or someone who you just know, and you're like, they play video games all day, or they just have no direction, no sense of purpose in their life. That's sad. When you're connected to God's Word and connected to what He's doing, you're going to have purpose in your life. You're going to have connection to what God has for you. God may say, do this. You may be terrified to do what this may be. This may be go to Bible college. This may be go seminary. This may be whatever it may be. You may be terrified to do that. If you're connected with God and He's telling you to do it and you do it, He will bless you. He may be telling you that this school year, he wants you to share the gospel. He wants you to connect with a group of people who you know need Jesus, who you know you need to invite to CSM, who are going to laugh in your face when you invite them to church. Are you willing to step out and do that? Is God laying that on your heart? School's about to start back. Got a week. Are you listening and obeying what God has for you? Maybe there's somebody who hasn't been here in a while who you miss. Have you called them? Have you Facebooked them? Have you told them you miss them, seeing them at church? Call them, invite them to Fantasy Lake. Pay for their 10 bucks. Say, I'll pay for you to go. Come hang out with us for a day. What's God calling you in your life to do? Are you going to listen to what God calls? Are you going to do what you want to do? Are you going to say, it's my way? You guys are in a crucial spot in your lives as teenagers. An amazing spot. The world is before you. I know you hear this all the time, but the world is right before you. There's so many things you guys can do with your life. You can get amazing educations. You can connect with the world. You can do great things. But are you doing those for the Lord? Are you doing them for the right reasons? If you're playing a sport or you're doing something, are you doing it for the right reasons? As we look at David's life and look at this really cool time in his life, David listened to God. I really believe David really wanted to build the temple. I really believe that. But he realized that's not what he was called to do. So he said, okay, God, what do you have for me? And God laid it out for him. God laid it out in front of him. God chose David when he was a young boy, when he was a shepherd boy. He said, he is the one. Remember, he went to Samuel, took him in, he went to the house. He said, that's the one right there. This is the one. I pray for you guys all the time. You guys live in a world as teenagers that I didn't even know just a few short years ago. But I pray that you guys are living for Jesus Christ. That you are living a life that is an example and a shining light to his word. And I pray that you stay connected to this. I pray that you stay connected to this. You study this Bible. You study this word. You all should have, at this point, have a Bible. If you don't, let us know. Please. Get connected to this. Let this be your lifeblood and your source for your direction in your life. Because God will lead you in places that you'll never imagine. You'll do things for him that you can't even ever imagine. And look back on and go, yes, God was in this. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. I pray for these students. Lord, I pray that as they live their lives and they seek you and seek guidance in your life, that as things come up in their life, that they do as David did. They don't choose to do what they want to do. They do what you tell us to do. As David comes to his life and he wants to build a house for you, God, you're like, no, David, I'm going to build a house for you. I'm going to build a line that's going to go forever. The people that is going to never end. God, may we listen and obey you. As trials come our way, I pray for these guys, Cody and Nico and Turner and Harbin and Jonathan and Timothy. As these boys head off to college, some far away, some not so far away, but God, as they seek you out in these new adventures in life, God, that you point them to you. They seek you out. And our students, Father, all the way down, all of our students, Lord, as they start this new school year, they bring a new adventure to their lives. God, you prepare them for what you have for them. And God, they'll seek you out for decisions they make. They make wise decisions, as we studied last year. God, they'll make smart decisions. They'll live for you, that people will see you in and through them this school year. That will be a shining light in a dark, dismal world. Father, may this year, I pray that someone in this room will share the gospel with someone at school. I pray for lives to change in our schools and for these students as they head off to school this year. And our teachers, our Christian teachers who stand up for their faith as best they can in some settings. Lord, I thank you for these students. I give them to you and our adults, Father. As we live out this Christian life and we walk these days, Lord, we walk in accordance to your word. It's It's in your name we pray. Amen.